has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime, with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America as we kick off another week. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us live from our Saratoga set right in front of Clear Court on another gorgeous morning after a monsoonish Tuesday night. There was plenty of rain, and that leads to no jump race today, no turf racing. That means we'll start things out today in race number two at 1:39. So make your adjustments for your handicapping and whatnot there. As far as Racing Across America this morning, we will be joined in a little bit by the folks at America's Pastime Racing, locally based partnership. Brian Spagnuolo and Jason Brinkman will join us to talk a little bit about the partnership and some of the horses they've had in so far at the meet, and looking forward as well. We'll also have a little segment. America's Pastime has now spun off a woman's version, a league of their own, which is an offshoot of their partnership. And Maud Walsh, who is kind of taking care of the folks, the partners on the woman's side of their partnership, which is, again, brand new, will also join us for a little segment to talk about that. If folks may be interested, you know, after an exciting Saratoga, to maybe think about getting into the game as an owner and a partnership kind of a deal. Last night I was at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation event, their annual event, their big event, the barbecue at the barn out at the Saratoga Winery. Took my camera over there, and we recorded a little piece that we'll show towards the end of the program as well, so stay tuned for all of that. But top of the show, we are joined by trainer Al Stahl. He's had a pretty good meet so far at Saratoga. We'll talk about some of the horses and where we might look for them to come next. Al, good morning.
Morning. Glad to be here.
Happy to have you here. Talking a little, as I say, some of the horses who have done very well already at the meet and what to look for them. And I'm going to pull up from out of town a race last week as well. But before we get to that, I always like to just chat a little bit about how folks got into the game and whatnot for the viewers we may have out there who are kind of new to the game. And we were talking before you came and sat up here. A couple of weeks ago, we had Tommy Amos sitting here talking about his youthful days when you and he were college roommates at LSU. So tell us a little bit about the LSU days. And did that mean a lot of trips over to the fairgrounds?
Well, it goes back to high school, actually grammar school. We started together at Holy Name of Jesus, and my family was always with the horses. And Tom started tagging along a little bit in early high school and towards the end of high school, and you could tell he was bitten by the bug. And as we went through LSU, yeah, it was just horses first, books second, many road trips to the fairgrounds, no computers, no cell phones, no OTBs. You had to be there live in person, otherwise you were getting shut out. So, yeah, we did it. I'm glad it was that way. We had to manage our schedules and get the most of it, but we spent a whole lot of time at the fairgrounds in New Orleans. That's what got us really into it.
Yeah, and yeah, you talk about, I remember those days. No phones, no mobile phones, no computers or whatnot. I went to Syracuse, and I would tell people, yeah, I'm a racing fan, and they'd start talking NASCAR, and I'd be like, no, we're on the wrong page there.
Yeah, no, we were way behind. Yeah. You know, we were way behind back then.
Talk a little bit about, speaking of that, as a trainer, how has training changed as technology has changed?
Oh, dramatically. I think the biggest change we've had is going to virtual full papers. Obviously, people are recording workouts and things like that, but it's so easy to handle our business. As far as I could move, with my phone sitting right here, I could move a set of papers in 8 seconds from one racetrack to another. So as opposed to FedExing and things like that. So I'm glad we got going with that. And obviously the day-to-day training. There's walkie-talkies that people use a lot, and like I said, a lot of video when a trainer is at one place. Sometimes I'll get video from my barn at Churchill. So maybe not on the racetrack as much as other people do, but like a horse that will jog on the pavement on a shank to look for lameness or this or that. And so it's helped. Yeah. It's like done everything else. It has helped, and we use it quite a bit, actually.
What's your schedule during the year? Where do you bounce around to?
Starting with, let's start with Labor Day. We'll be back at Churchill from here. We race and return. We'll race at Kentucky Downs on a race and return basis. We'll go Churchill the second half of September. We'll race and return to Keeneland the month of October. We'll start dribbling horses down to the fairgrounds in the month of November, and we'll be full force Thanksgiving Day at the fairgrounds. I shouldn't say that because we'll have a few that to run the last couple days at Churchill. We'll spend the whole winter in New Orleans, come back up to Kentucky in the spring, and repeat, rinse and repeat.
And you alluded to it earlier. You're from a horse racing family. That's how you got into the game.
Right. No, my father really got it started because he was just a player at a young age, and his father was interested, and they partnered together, and they bred some horses, owned some horses, always at the racetrack, always tagging along. He was smart enough to hook up with the right people, the Jack Vanbergs of the world, and Frankie Brothers was an assistant trainer for Jack Vanberg at the time. That's how far back this goes, and they became like family to us, especially Frankie Brothers, and that's the only person I ever worked for in my whole life. I was one person only, and when Frankie weaned me, that was it. I was on my own starting in August of 91.
Yeah, very good. How does Saratoga fit into the memories of racetracks, and you know, how does it stack up with, I always say the fans are just so knowledgeable up here. It's got to be fun to come up and race in front of this crowd.
Yeah, I was recruited to come up here by Howard Battle. I don't know if you remember.
Sure.
Howard was a racing secretary in Kentucky, but he would come up here as a boutique racing secretary for a boutique meet, and Howard wanted some of his people there. I didn't even think about Saratoga. He says, "Hey, son, why don't you ease a few horses up there? Might help you with the condition book and stuff like that." I said, "Okay." I think that might have been 96, and I've been here ever since. And it's absolutely, at a certain point in the year, I always hear guys, I remember Harvey Pack talking about it, and Andy talks about it. You know, when you're sitting in Aqueduct in February or something like that, how long is the Saratoga? And, you know, somewhere around that time for us, maybe not quite February, but when things get to be springtime and maybe post-Derby, post-Preakness, yeah. We focus in on Saratoga and look forward to it every year. Love it. Love it.
Where are you located? The other
right
side?
Here. I'm about 60, 70 yards on the other side of Clare Court, barn 16. I've been in that barn for quite a few years, and the location is prime. And if they let me stay there the rest of my career, I'd be happy to do it.
So you're right here, and we just had a horse go behind us. You bring horses out here.
I
ask trainers.
I do.
It seems like it's a mental thing, too. It's so much different than working out over on the main track, even though.
Yeah, well, it's easy to take joggers out there if you want to kind of get one in and get one out. But it's very good for a tough horse because Clare Court is basically a circle, so the horse is always turning, and they have a natural way of checking themselves. So you can get something done here with a horse that who might go out on the big racetrack and have a lot of free space and some traffic, and they might set sail on you. So, yeah, we use it all the time, and it's a lovely, natural, you can just tell the surface is just cut right out of the ground, and they manicure beautifully, so we use it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's fun for us to be here, have the horses
working
out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Behind us. I mean, that's part of the beauty of Saratoga. It's just so nice here in the morning. And do the horses, I mean, over the years, people always say, boy, the horses really love it up here in the water and just the atmosphere and whatnot. Do the horses kind of, do you see them have a reaction to Saratoga?
No question, no doubt about it. They hold their weight really well, put on weight, they train well. Yeah, it's definitely, they know they're back to where they belong. They see all this, you know, paths and trees and a lot of grass. Horses do well. Every once in a while, you get the odd horse that might be able to handle all the commotion with cars and horses coming from every which way. Every once in a while, I get a horse in about, knock on wood, I haven't had a horse in about 4 or 5 years that I've had to kind of shut down. I've actually sent some back home, but that hadn't happened to us in a while. But every blue moon, you get one that's a little bit overwhelmed by what goes on around here.
Yeah, because it is really a different atmosphere in that, you know, we'll have the partnership people later, and I think the partnerships like Saratoga, and you get the people on the backside, so there probably is a little more activity than you're normally going to find.
Oh, yeah, especially where we are. We're by that kitchen there, and they're in and out of there, and we're fine. They can do what they want as long as they're safe and everything. And my friend Gene, who's a tour guide over there, he brings his group by, and it's a good thing for them, and we're fine with it. So, yeah, we accept it. It's great.
Take us through a standard day up here at Saratoga. And is it different? And if it is different than the rest of the year, how is it different?
Well, for me, it's a little bit easier because I normally have 40, 50-horse barns, and I bring 16 up here.
Okay.
So I would say easier, but it's a little bit at a slower pace. We're not in a big rush to get all these horses out. So we start early in the morning. We train basically at the main track all the time, an occasional trip to the Oklahoma turf course, especially early in the meet before it gets chopped up. And you'll get ready to see a couple of my horses walk back. They're going to school, a couple of young horses that might run next week. They're getting ready to walk on up there. So I like it up here because it makes me feel like the old roots of being a horseman, because I'm way more hands-on up here.
Nice.
For obvious reasons.
I always ask trainers too, because folks, fans, again, we have a lot of new fans that'll tune in during the meet, and they'll see in the afternoon or this time of day, horses, if it's in the afternoon, all the horses from a certain race leave the paddock, and then some other horses come in. They're schooling. What is the game plan when you bring horses over to school in the paddock?
You just want to just let them see what goes on. It's a different feel with people and those ice chests, those plastic wheels. Horses will never, ever get used to that, and there's plenty of that around here. And I've actually, you know, when I was a little younger up here, had horses in the paddock at 7 o'clock in the morning on a weekend when they open those gates, and here come the people, and they're sprinting, and, I mean, all hell breaks loose. But we don't do that anymore. But it's just let them see and get a feel for it, and it works. I mean, they might jig-jog a little bit and get a little sweaty right now, and if you run them 4 or 5 days or 7 days, they'll go in there and, for the most part, be comfortable. It's amazing how well schooling works. It really does.
You know, I ask trainers all the time when they sit here what the track means to them and how it's different than other venues and whatnot, but I've never asked before, and it just dawned on me as we were talking, how does the Saratoga paddock stack up to other paddocks you've been in? Because to me, I just love the Saratoga experience to begin with, but I think the paddock there is very kind of tranquil and kind of beautiful with the trees. And when I first came here, it was very different. The fences weren't there.
Right,
and
I remember, right?
But,
the crowd would stand right there.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
As I say, I think it's, to me, a very nice paddock. But as somebody who's been around and other racetracks, how does the paddock here stack up?
Yeah, I think it's probably the most beautiful paddock we deal with. Keeneland is close. They're similar. They're very roomy. You saddle by the trees. So I'd have to say Keeneland and Saratoga are the two nicest paddocks that we deal with. You know, Fairgrounds is a wintertime track, and it's a pretty paddock, and Oak Lawn is inside, and Pimlico's inside. So they're all different. That's why you let the horses take a look at it, because they notice the difference also. But as far as, you know, aesthetics, Saratoga's most probably number one.
Yeah, again, I've never asked a trainer that before, but curious. All right, let's take a look. As I say, it's been a very nice meet for you. Let's take a look at some of the horses and maybe get some thoughts on where we may look for some of these horses coming up. We'll go back fairly recently and see Peaceful Waters get it done. This is an allowance event. Peaceful Waters is going to be the number three horse. A solid 96 buyer coming out of this. You know, fairly lightly raced. This was career start number 7, career victory number 2. A horse that had shown a lot of early speed. Did so again on August 20th. And again, gets it done very nicely. Talk about this performance and where might we look next for Peaceful Waters.
He's a horse that's always, you know, when you have a horse that fast, they, for the most part, train really well in the morning. So they'll get your blood boiling. And he just had, the main issue we have with Peaceful Waters is not finishing well and not switching his leads. We haven't fixed the lead part yet, and there's no rhyme or reason from what we can see. He's good galloping with his leads. He's good breezing with his leads. Afternoon pressure is just not quite the same. Louis didn't work on him too hard, because he was running so well. I mean, when a horse is running wide open, leads mean nothing. If they're trying, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, you'll see plenty of Breeders' Cup winners run on the inside lead. And I don't think there's a right lead or a wrong lead. Obviously, you don't want to be on your right lead in the turn, but if you're running on your inside lead, your left lead down the lane, and they're flat running, that's not the wrong lead. It's just where the horse is comfortable at that time. So we'll work on that with that high buyer. We'll probably give him time, and maybe Keeneland. He still has an allowance condition. And after that, you know, you could be a – I'm from New Orleans. He could be a Thanksgiving Day Classic horse. That purse is $150,000. So we'll give him a chance to kind of get over this race. He had two races on this racetrack, and he's done really well. He was a crypt orchid. He had an undescended testicle, and that little gap you'll see in his form, we went and had to get it taken out in the clinic. And that's a little more stressful than people would think. Well, maybe not. It's pretty stressful thinking about it. And so we gave him some time to get over that. And I think that is kind of helping him right now. He's starting to get it, so to speak. And his hormones have balanced out. And I think we're going forward with him because there's a lot to like about him. He'll run a first quarter with natural speed. But then that second quarter, he'll open up on fast horses while everybody's still running. That's an unusual trait, and he's doing it comfortably.
Yeah, good trait.
to just kind of shut the door on him. And if we can get him to kind of do his leads and maybe finish up a little better like he did the other day, we might have something, so we're excited about him.
That was certainly impressive, and again, with the 96 buyer. You got me thinking here, because we talk about it on the handicapping show quite a bit. We'll look in the PPs and see that first-time gelding symbol. As a trainer, maybe you can help us out here. What is a gap that is believable for a gelding? How quickly can they come back?
Well, I've seen people come back really quick. When I worked for Frankie Brothers, we had a horse named Cherokee Circle. I think we ran him back in like 7 days.
Oh, okay.
He broke the track record. But in general, well, there's a healing process, obviously, but you do it for a hormonal effect. And depending on the age of the horse and just the mentality of the horse, it'll take a while for the hormones to absolutely balance out like you want them. So, you know, sometimes it'll be 90 days, so it just depends. But you'll see a horse improve. They can run, but you'll see a horse maybe improve a little bit as they go along because they really just finally find themselves. So
interesting, too. So they can come back quicker than maybe the actual benefit of the surgery allows. They'll be back quicker, but a little bit down the road, maybe the benefit shows up.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
You'll see a horse with a long layoff and be a first-time gelding run a really good race.
Yeah.
But sometimes a first-time gelding who might run back in 30 days, 45 days, they run all right. But if you keep an eye on that horse, he'll balance himself out, and he might go just up the ladder. So
interesting. Let's take a look at another one you had just the other day here. This was August 21st. We're going to take a look at number 2, Repealing, Get It Done. This is a very, very lightly raced runner. Came into the race with 3 starts. A win that was bookended by a 5th and a 3rd place in the race just prior to this. That was also at Saratoga. 4th career start, gets it done very nicely, Repealing. Now, you had to be sitting on the edge of your seat as they came under the wire, but holds off. Chart margin is a half a length. Talk a little bit about Repealing, a daughter of Constitution. 4 career starts, couple of nice wins. How'd you feel about this race, and what might be looking forward to for Repealing?
And Repealing's a very, very nice filly. Brought her up here as a 2-year-old, just wasn't quite right. I think she might have had a flake in an ankle, did the surgery, gave her a bunch of time off, and she came back a completely different horse. And her first race at Churchill was spectacular. I mean, she just destroyed that field. Her first race up here, got caught down on the inside of deep track, ended up having a little abscess in a lymph node under the jaw, which is not your average thing, and just really wasn't comfortable. And so we threw that race out. We thought she was very live in this race. And, you know, it's got a tremendous amount of natural speed, was going along just fine. And the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th place horse, all the ones that were kind of chasing her down the backside, just dropped out of it. They end up running 2nd to last, and I think 4th to last. And she's 5 lengths in front all by herself. And she's a Tappet Bloodline Constitution filly. And Tyler said, I wasn't going to hit her because I didn't know which direction she was going in because she's a little bit of a tart, so to speak. So he just kind of eased her on home, and plenty left in the tank, and a nice filly. Got an 87 buyer. I was very surprised by that. That's 1 point lower than that race at Churchill. So Dogwood at Churchill, most probably. I think it's the 24th, 25th, 7/8, G3. That, and we're looking for competition. We want a horse to be up there with her, a target, and let her focus and let her do her thing, because there's a lot of horse there.
Yeah, that seemed to show plenty of talent.
She wasn't getting tired. She was just goofing
and
gawking, and she was like a snake. And, you know,
sometimes they get a lead like that, and it's like, okay, where's the
especially
the
a young filly with a pedigree like that, you know, who wants to be a little gawky and have a mind of her own. So, like I said, Tyler said, I wasn't going to be. She'll get it. She knows what she's doing. She's okay.
No, that was good looking. You mentioned the buyer figures. Do you use the figures in your?
Well, I just found it interesting because I classified in my little buyer mind or rag. You know, been doing it so long, I don't have a figure, but I would have called that about a B-minus race for her, really. And I was just kind of surprised to see that she just got a 1 point lower than a race that we thought she was really devastating in. So. That shows that she's, you know, makes me think she's got some quality to her, which we know she does.
Yeah.
So she should be good for that Dogwood. It'll be a tougher field, and we're actually kind of looking for that. It'll carry her further along.
Let's go back, and my partner on the handicapping show kind of alluded to it. We'll go back and look at Gilcrease. First-time starter back on August 7th. Gilcrease is going to be the number six horse here. Julien Lefereau on board. 26-1, and does not do it like a 26-1 shot. They're going to win by a couple of lengths here. This is an impressive performance again for the first time starter, a son of More Than Ready. Tell us your thoughts watching the race and after the race, and did you have any idea this was the performance you were going to see?
We like the horse. I mean, that's why I brought him up here. I don't like to bring two-year-olds up here to run on the dirt so much anymore, because those races, as you've seen with Spank, not Spank, Prank, and the two gun runners of Steve's. I mean, you know, I just not the type of trainer to really just hammer on one. So I kind of bring the turf type of horses and More Than Ready. And he had trained just fine at Churchill. Came up here, worked him on the grass. Julien was ear to ear, smiles. 10-1. I thought, well, he'd stay around there, maybe come down a few points. And as I'm tacking him up, I looked over, 17-1, 19-1. And I said, wow, there must be some runners in this race. I got a little gun shy, so we all changed a multiple unit play to maybe a single unit play, but we liked the horse.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't surprised he ran that well, and you know, he's the best bred horse in the race. I have a nice, nice Bernardini mare that Claiborne Farm bought for my client, Columbine Stable, and Indian Brava, and Bernardini, and that's Catholic Boy is More Than Ready. Bernardini, that's a nice cross, and I'm actually not contemplating dirt right now, but we like the way he trained on the dirt. So
he'll run
at Kentucky Downs in the, I think it's a 6.5, 500,000, some crazy, you know, crazy type of thing.
They're all so, crazy down
yeah,
there.
Right. So, nice animal, though. Take our time with him. He's not the biggest horse in the world, so we'll kind of spread things on him.
All right. And so there were some of the Saratoga winners, but I also wanted to alluded to it a little bit earlier. Wanted to go back August 13th down to Churchill Downs on Arlington Million Day. Delica, boy, I have really liked her kind of right along. She's been a really nice stakes performer coming into the race. She was sitting at, what, I think 27 starts and 7 wins. But gets it done in the Beverly D. She's here, the number one horse. The chart margin is going to be half a length. Talk a little bit about her win in the Beverly D and what might be next for Delica.
Well, that was, like the movie says, I love it when a plan comes together. Just she was in the right place, the right time. Well, going back a little ways, Paul Varga's the owner. He's a great guy, Brown Foreman, chairman, retired on the board of Churchill. He's a smart, smart guy and one of my better friends. I've known him since college. And this mare has been so good for us. And with her pedigree being a little, you know, a little off the wall, German and all that stuff, we decided, she already won the graded stake last year and had plenty of earnings, and he wants to build a broodmare band, but we said, you know, she's perfectly sound, got that hardy German, you know, she's tough, and we'll try and take some shots. Took a shot to Diana, didn't work out, but, you know, nothing ever bothers her. She comes back to the barn and breathing fire, and knock on wood, her legs are always good, so... Yeah, you know, we knew this race was coming, and we knew she runs over any kind of surface because we didn't really know what was going on at Churchill and his own backyard. We were there waiting for him, and they put that rail out 24 feet, and we drew the one hole, and we weren't concerned about what the footing was because she takes it and had speed. I mean, everything literally just, the confluence of events just came right together, Brian Hernandez got along with. He'd worked her before, and when she broke and started flicking those ears back and forth, we said, well, she's going to carry him a ways, and the Michael Stidham filly came up, and she's dead game, got nothing but heart, and I'm not saying she deserves to win a grade one, but she's won a grade one, and even better, there's a little NTR next to her name, as a track record, which who knows what that means with the rail out and the new turf, but on the pedigree page, it'll look nice. So it was mission accomplished, and she'll go to Kentucky Downs, and we're not sure what we're going to do. She could run 6.5. She could run the flat mile. She'll kick the bonus up to a million. The race up to $1 million because if a grade one winner starts, they put $1 million on those races. So I might call a few of my friends who want to run, like a Michael Stidham, and say, hey, man, you know, dinner, something for the cause. We're going to help you out. So, but she'll show up at Kentucky Downs. She's a stakes winner, and she got beat at, a half length or neck in the mile race last year. So she'll show up, and I'm not sure which race, but she'll be there. She came out of the race great, already back in Kentucky. Already back at the training center where she trains, and I keep her by herself out there. She doesn't like a racetrack too much. She's got.
That's the it's Sky in the form. That's the
Sky
Churchill.
Light. Yeah.
That's the Churchill.
No, that's not Churchill. That's Tommy Drury there.
It's down in the Churchill area, right?
It's 20 minutes away. Yeah.
Okay.
And we keep her out there because she's very hard to train, almost ranked to train. That's just the way she is, and she does really well out there, and her form shows it.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal. And I didn't. Yeah, I said the purses are crazy down there, and they can get crazier with the grade one winner.
It's
very good.
I think that money's straight to the purse too. It's not KTDF. So
yeah, very
she'd
good.
Be 550 gross her gross would be 550, so which is not bad.
Become a millionaire with that one.
Yeah.
Al, really appreciate the visit again. Congratulations on what's been a very nice Saratoga so far. Good luck going forward and with all of these horses that we looked at and more. But we appreciate you taking the time. I know it's always busy here at Saratoga. So as I say, thanks for stopping by and good luck going forward.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. I enjoy coming here all the time, and I enjoy coming to visit y'all.
Very good. Al Stahl. All right, we'll take a break. They're in the green room, the folks from America's Pastime Racing. We'll talk a little bit about the partnership and more. All of that coming up. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs. And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is two bedrooms and two baths. Come make a selection in one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Wednesday, kicking off the penultimate week here at Saratoga. And another nice morning up here. Should be a nice afternoon as well. And hopefully it's a nice afternoon for my next guest. They have a couple in, I believe, today. But it's the folks from America's Pastime Racing. I mention them all year long when we're down in the studio because I always like to tip our cap to locally based owners. And America's Pastime typically racing quite a bit in New York, and that has continued up here at Saratoga. We'll touch on that and more. On my far right, Brian Spagnola. Right next to me, Jason Brinkman. Fellas, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Give us, Brian, give us a little background on the partnership. We've had you in before, but for folks who maybe aren't familiar, talk a little bit about the genesis of the partnership and talk a little bit also about what the goals are for your particular partnership.
Yeah, we've been around about 4 years or so, and I mean, we're just a general syndicate, and we I think we're different than some where we do a little bit of everything. We have broodmares, we have two-year-olds, we do some pin hooking, but obviously the crux of what we do is racing. And so we probably race about 20 something horses, mostly on the NYRA circuit. And but basically what we do is, you know, we allow people to get in at smaller percentages and enjoy the experience. And that's, you know, kind of what we do. We have a lot of wins, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
As I say, I see you guys kind of entering horses and in the winner's circle at the various NYRA tracks. And I know you're tied in with a trainer, and I pulled up as I was going through your social media, a trainer from a foreign country, as it were, and there's a great profile of your trainer. Talk about how you tied in with Metkin.
Yeah, Mark Cantermasi and his brother Ilkay, they do a fantastic job. They're brothers that came over from Turkey. Their dad, Tinke Cantermasi, was a world-renowned trainer over in Turkey, and they decided about 7 or 8 years ago that they wanted to come over here and you know, start their own thing in the U.S. and have had, you know, great deal of success along the way. And when we first got connected, it was Brian that ironically enough just reached out to them on Twitter, and that's how the connection was made, and the rest is history. And now you know, we've got a lot of horses with them, and they've been great partners for us.
And I would tell, it was put together for the Fox show, I'm assuming, right? The profile?
I believe it was, America's Day at the Races. Yeah, they did a nice, very nice profile on the entire family.
I tell people to go find that online because it was a nice profile and kind of gave some of that background and whatnot. So, Brian, what was the genesis? How did you guys get into the game? Were you a horse racing fan before? What was the impetus for starting a partnership?
Yeah, we my mom and dad owned horses, you know, when I was a little kid growing up. So back in the 90s, we actually were heavily involved in harness racing.
Okay.
My family and my friends, and then we got involved in thoroughbreds in the 90s, and you know, kind of dabbled in it since. And kind of what we always wanted to do was have a syndicate to build. And you know, we started it, like I say, about 4 years ago, and we didn't expect it to grow like it is. I mean, we've had almost 200 partners and over the past few years, and over 100 horses and a lot of wins. So it's kind of really blossomed. But we really work hard at it, and we think we do a good job giving people the, you know, the communication like they own the horse. And that's what's important to us, that we communicate with them and they feel like whether they're investing, you know, $10,000 or $1,000, like it's their horse. And I think it's been successful for us.
It's America's Pastime Stable. As the name might suggest, I pulled up a shot of the silks, which have the baseball on it, which are a lot of fun as well. Talk about the baseball tie-in.
Yeah, the baseball tie-in. So everybody that's involved with the stable has some ties to baseball. Brian operates the Amsterdam Mohawks in the Perfect Game Collegiate League, and I operate the Albany Dutchmen. So that was kind of the connection there. We've got a couple of other guys involved as well. We have John Sargalis that does all of our social media and website, but he also has worked in baseball for quite a few years. And then Brian's son Max, that's been around baseball as well. So it's been a nice connection with the whole group, and you know, just kind of keeping the whole thing like light and fun, and you know, baseball obviously is a little bit unique to bring into the sport.
So. Yeah, I was down at the Albany game the beginning of the season. That was a lot of fun. It was a nice night, and you know, that level of baseball. And you guys must be playing in Shuttleworth, right?
We do. Yeah, we do.
As an Amsterdam guy myself, very familiar with that setup. Pulled up some pictures from your social media, and you guys have both kind of alluded to it already. But Jason, talk a little bit about Saratoga and how special Saratoga is with these kind of partnerships, because I think it is special to be in the paddock, and if you can get in the winner's circle, but also just the overall experience. And we have some shots you had at breakfast on the backstretch.
Yeah, I mean, Saratoga, obviously, I think for everybody, is the penultimate of the entire year. It's something that people look forward to all year round. So when the Saratoga actually gets here, you know, we like to take advantage, and, you know, we do all sorts of events on a weekly basis. I know this week alone, I think we have, at least three events going on. Tonight, actually, we'll be over at Bailey's in downtown Saratoga with a number of our owners. Certainly, if anybody's watching and wants to stop by, we're going to buy some drinks and have some food out. So certainly stop by and say hello. But yeah, whether it's just a happy hour that's at a local bar, or having a morning breakfast at the track, we got everybody together Sunday morning and had about 60 people come over, and it's just fun getting everybody together and enjoying the experience.
And I had the guys pull up your website address, americaspastimestables.com. Brian, I'm assuming if people want to know more about it, whenever I have partnership guys, I think you all do a good job of explaining, no matter what level. There are various levels. Do a little bit of research and find out what level you may be comfortable at. And I think folks will find out some more information about your particular stable at the website. So, again, recommend people go there. But if folks stop by the event tonight, you guys, I didn't realize that, but that seems like a good spot to maybe inquire as well down at Bailey's.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we're very open to answering questions. And we're transparent with everything we do. And we really try, we're marketing guys with our baseball, so we kind of take a lot of that into what we do here. And and like Jay said, we're really about the experience, and that's really what we want to do. We want to make sure people get for what they're spending money, that the experience they have is second to none. You said going into the paddock and the winner's circle, but even getting together at the bar, yeah, or going to a party and mingling, and just feeling like you're part of the industry, and that's what it's about. And we're happy because even we feel like we really help the industry, bringing the amount of owners that we have it. So we're proud of what we've done in that part as well.
Yeah, the partnerships have brought a new angle to the game that I think is healthy for everybody involved. And again, we have new folks who are watching us when Saratoga rolls around, and I think a lot of folks who come up may kind of get the bug and think, yeah, maybe I might like to jump in. And these are the kind of folks that offer those opportunities. And speaking of opportunities, and as I said, I see you guys when I'm doing the handicapping show from the studio down in Albany, Aqueduct, Belmont, and whatnot. But I said Del Mar started the other day when I went on Equibase.
We did, yeah. It was a horse that we claimed at Churchill and shipped out to Del Mar, and well, Brian, maybe you can speak to that. The horse is actually in a graded stakes race out there.
Yeah, we claimed the horse for $50,000 at Churchill with the idea of sending. We had a couple guys in California that wanted to do some things, so we got involved with Dan Blacker out there, who's wife Christina on TVG, and so we claimed this horse in Churchill, brought him out. And we raced opening day at Del Mar in a stakes race, the Oceanside Stakes, and the horse ran really well. Finished fifth, but ran better than that even. And Dan called and said, there's a grade three that we're going to try. It's 2 weeks, so it's a little short rest, but we're going to give it a try. What do you think? And I said, I'm all for it. We didn't know that the horse was a graded stakes horse or not. And so we flew out. I said, let's go. So we flew out. How often are you in a graded stakes race at Del Mar? So the horse finished sixth, and might not be a great, but the horse only three. But it was a great experience. People loved watching, and the horse does have a nice upside, we believe.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, when I saw that on Equipace, I thought, great. They're really branching out. And you've alluded to this as well. I saw you guys over at the sales, and you do a little breeding and pin hooking also. So you're kind of in all aspects of the game.
We do. Yeah, we've got about a dozen brood mares right now. We had two that we were actually selling in the sale, New York bred sale. We had one that we had bred ourselves, sold as a yearling, and then there was another one that we had purchased at the October Fazig Tipton sale. We bought a weanling and sold it as a pinhook. So, and both of those were very successful. But the New York breeding program is just fantastic.
Yeah.
The awards that you can get, breeding horses, and if you have a little patience and kind of wait to see the horses develop, it can really be something that's lucrative in the long run.
Yeah, you do have to have the patience because it takes a while for them to get to the races. But as you say, if they do in the New York bred program, it can work out. And speaking of working out, let's pull up a nice performance from a America's Pastime horse a little bit earlier in the meet. This is going back to July 23rd. We are going to take a look at Stage Left. Stage Left is going to be the number five horse here. This is a pretty nice win in a Saratoga allowance event. Chart margin is just under six lengths. Talk a little bit about this performance and how much fun it is to win up at Saratoga.
Yeah, anytime that you can get in the winner's circle in Saratoga, nothing beats it. This was just an incredible performance. It was a horse that we had claimed for $25,000 and moved it up into an allowance race. And, just the thrill of winning at Saratoga. The horse that day went off at 14-1 and, paid $30. So I know a few people made a few bucks on it as well. But, it's an absolute blast whenever you can win. We've got two more entries in today. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have a couple more good performances. But that was a great race that day.
Yeah, you win like that up at Saratoga. And again, with a horse you claim, boom, that's a mic drop. That's a slam dunk up here at Saratoga. And we were talking last night, you guys were both at the TRF event, the barbecue, and we were talking last night, you were doing a little rain dance, and your rain dance successful. You got the MTO. And talk a little bit about the expectations for the horses today.
Yeah, so we have Mount Traverse running, and he's kind of run even for us. He's dropping down a little bit, and he's been at this level once and been successful. So we'll see. It's a short field, so you never know. And then we did draw in with an MTO, Chasen Brin, who we did see the rain, and so this horse hasn't run in a few months, so we're trying to get her in, and she finally got in, so we're excited just to have her run.
Yeah, I put her on top, so I'm rooting.
All right, so we like to see.
I'm rooting for you. Brian Spagnola, Jason Brinkman, again from America's Pastime Stables. You can visit the website. You can learn more there. And folks can stop by at Bailey's tonight and ask some questions. Or if they see you around the track, also ask some questions if they'd like to become involved, correct?
Yeah, we'll be at the track all day today and are there most days. And certainly after the last race tonight, stop over to Bailey's, say hi.
And we have another option. We're going to take a break. Maud Walsh will join us. She's kind of heading up your client relations and whatnot for an offshoot that sounds like a lot of fun, kind of a women-centric partnership, a league of their own, correct?
Correct.
So yeah. Continuing with the baseball theme, I like that. So we'll talk a little bit about that after the break. But again, great job so far, a nice Saratoga with the win with Stage Left and beyond, and we wish you good luck this afternoon and going forward as well. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you very much
for
having us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, America's Pastime Stables. As I say, they have the women-centric offshoot, and we'll talk with Maud Walsh a little bit about that after the break, so stay tuned.
Set now for the juvenile fillies turf. 14 of them across the track. Sent on their way. And of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eighth ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop chopping area. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide open. It's Tara from the Cape hanging on. Tara from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, kind of an offshoot of the America's Pastime Stable. They now have a league of their own. It's a women-centric organization. And I am joined now by Maud Walsh, who is the managing partner and one of the owners. Brian's daughter, Amelia, who is in on one of the horses. I always like to have an owner sitting up on the set. So good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And talk a little bit about Maud, the new partnership. How new is it, and where are you as far as the partnership with horses and partners at this point?
So a little background, my good pal Kim Weir from TRF was approached by Brian and Jason. You know, we're starting a women's division, and she said call Maud. And it just sort of happened. It's only about 2 months old. We have 17 ladies.
Nice.
And two horses. So we're rolling along.
Very good. And I asked the guys, I pulled up a shot, if you are included in the picture, of the silks. So a brand new set of silks for the a league of their own offshoot partnership. And you got to like that. Also featuring the baseball. We're going to take a look here. You had a runner the other day going back to August 19th, stretch run. Eminency, the number 7, is a league of their own. The number 6, Top of the Mint, wins. Number 2, Hang Tight, runs second. But a nice little Saratoga third place finish for Eminency. And Amelia, you're part owner in Eminency, right? How much fun was this?
It was really fun, too.
And as a part owner, what do you get to do? You go in the paddock and kind of give encouragement?
Yeah.
Very good. And I think it played out with the third place finish. Maud, how did the partners respond to a third at Saratoga?
They were very excited. Many of the ladies, we have two area codes, 516 down on Long Island and the 518ers up here. So many of the 518ers were here in the paddock. They met Louis Saez. The horse ran through the wire quite well, so we were happy with the third. Yeah. And Louis wants the stick, so we'll see what happens with Eminency next.
Do you have anything that's going to be coming up before the end of the meet up here?
We don't. We have a really cool colt by Practical Joke with Murkan and Ilkay. His name is Practically Mine, the girls named him. And he'll run probably at Aqueduct. He's in training, doing very well, breezing here, but I think he's pointed towards Aqueduct.
Okay, Practically Mine. And I'm assuming we showed the the breakfast with the America's Pastime Stable. I'm assuming a league of their own is going to be the same game plan, a lot of social side to the whole partnership experience. And that, I think, is what a lot of people appreciate.
I think that's part of the appeal of America's Pastime and League of Their Own, is that we are owner-friendly, we are a little smaller, we really reach out to the girls and the guys about, you know, a lot of updates and things like that, and a lot of social events, and that kind of separates us a little bit, and that's what this crew is looking for.
And for folks who want more information, they can go to that America's Pastime website, correct?
Absolutely, yes, we have a drop-down on that, League of Their Own.
And if folks see you at the track, like Brian and Jason, they can ask you more about it. Or the event tonight at Bailey's.
Yes, we'll be there. And I'll be at the track every day right through Labor Day.
And give an enthusiastic thumbs up to folks and tell people they should learn more about a league of their own in the partnership.
Yeah.
And Amelia, as I say, a part owner in there. And you can see lots of smiles involved with owning a racehorse that races up at Saratoga. You can jump in potentially. And again, paddock, winner's circle, or enjoy all the social aspect. Ladies, appreciate the visit this morning. Good luck going forward.
Thank you very much.
All right, we will take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to pop up the tape piece I did at the TRF benefit last night. It was a lot of fun. A little bit of rain to kick things off, but then it mellowed out. It was a lot of fun last night. We'll come back and show you that right after this. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Send out a link to that. But welcome back to Racing Across America. As I promised before the break, we are going to take a look at the piece last night from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. It's the big fundraiser of the year, the barbecue at the barn, which is at the Saratoga Winery. On my drive over, monsoon-like rain, and part of the fun of being at the winery, they have the outdoors. So everybody was kind of forced indoors, but then the rain stopped and people moved back outdoors. And then it started again, people back. So it was a little bit of a weather situation, but overall it was a gorgeous night, jam-packed. They were sold out. It was a lot of fun. They raised a lot of money for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, which does great work. So again, this is from last night, Thoroughbred Retirement fundraiser, the barbecue at the barn. Welcome back. Obviously, a little bit of a technical issue there. We will get that for you in the future. I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America, kicking off the penultimate week here at Saratoga, Wednesday afternoon racing. Don't forget, with the rain last night, no jump racing, no turf racing, but without the jump race, that means we'll kick off with race two today at 1:39, so keep that in mind. Thanks to our guest today, Al Stahl. That was a lot of fun talking to Al, and always a lot of fun talking with local owners, and that includes America's Pastime Stables, Brian Spagnuolo and Jason Brinkman, Maud Walsh with the ladies' side of things now, A League of Their Own, the offshoot to America's Pastime. You can find out more about the partnership at both of the partnerships at americaspastimestables.com. Also, thanks to Amelia Spagnuolo for sitting in as an owner on the League of Their Own partnership. So again, thanks to everybody who came in this morning here on Racing Across America, kick off the week. We'll take we'll take our leave now, as it were, and kind of wrap it up for Wednesday morning. Racing, obviously, here on the network all afternoon long. Go down to the clubhouse and enjoy that. Your local branch, fire up your OTV account, watch on your couch at home, because, again, a lot of great racing coming up, including this nice card here at Saratoga. As far as the morning programming, as always, we return tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Support, at 10 a.m. for Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.